We are up to page 440. We are beginning Vayetse Yoina min Oir, continuing Perik Dalit Pasuk He. Vayetse Yoina min Oir, Vayetse Mekidim Loir. There, were you talking about learning the Lezech and Nishash of Dov ben Aaron?
Dov ben Aaron.
Dov ben Aaron, Le'ilin Nishmase. Perik Dalit Pasuk He, Vayetse Yoina min Oir, Vayetse Mekidim Loir. He left the city. He. Let's see. And he dwelt on the east side of the city. Okay, why the east? We have to see. And he made for himself, he built a sukkah. And he dwelt beneath it, with Batzel in the shade. Ad asher yireh ma'yeh be'ir. He was waiting to see what's going to be. He wanted to see how will all of this play out. Now, does that mean that Yonah did not know that Hashem already decided that he's going to forgive them, or does it mean that he didn't know? He just wanted to see the details. Okay, that is machlekes in the Rishonim. Why? What exactly is he looking to see? Let's do one more pasuk. Pasuk vav vayiman. Hashem Elokim. This is the third time. This is a famous Chazal that it says the word vayiman four times in Sefer Yoinah, and here I think is the third of the fourth. And I saw in a very beautiful Sefer, a very beautiful parish we have to get to, is that the first time it says vayiman Hashem. Right. And the second time, and also it says, I think we have to see exactly, Vayiman Hashem. And here it says, Hashem Elokim. And the last time it's going to say Elokim. And we'll have to see, we'll go through it in detail later. But it says, it's not just that it says four times in Sefer Yonah, Vayiman, Hashem prepared, Hashem designated, Hashem summoned. It says a different, the use of which name of Hashem is selected has a lot of significance. Okay, that we'll talk about a little bit later. But Vayiman Hashem Elokim Ki Koyoin, the word Ki Koyoin only appears in Sefer Yonah. It does not appear anywhere else in Tanakh, and it's a very hard word to translate. We have to really delve into what exactly is this thing called the Ki Koyoin. There's some very fascinating ideas we'll come across there. What exactly is the Ki Koyoin, and what exactly does it allude to? Is it a mashal? Is it a nimshal? Is it obviously we assume ein miku yoytze mide pshutai? It's some type of tree. It's some type of shelter. Some type of natural what?
Plant.
It's some type of plant.
Grass.
Well, let's see. We have to see. We're going to see. Okay. It appears that it was very large. Okay, we'll see. Okay, we're going to see. Hold off for 1 second. A lot of leaves. The gematria. What's the gematria of Ki Koyoin? Okay, what's the gematria of Ki Koyoin? Some say that's the number of leaves there are. 277? No, 276. When you get 277? 200 and 50, 60.
There's no odd numbers there.
Not Ki
Koyoin.
276. 276. So the Medrash is going to say there are 276 leaves in this type of bush, and that's why it's called Ki Koyoin Bigamatria 276. Okay. Okay. How many psukim are there? How many psukim are there in Mizma Kufyu Tess?
176.
One seven, not 276.
Well, you have 100 somewhere.
Okay, so we have to see about that. Vayaz vayiman Hashem Elokim Ki Koyoin.
Raw.
Okay, interesting. That's right. That's a good point. Let's see. Ki Koyoin vayal miyal miyal liyoina. It covered. It ascended to the degree, to the point where it sheltered Yonah. It went above Yonah. Liyoyis tzel al reishai lehatzil lo meiro osoi. Now, what does that mean? To shelter him from his evil? What evil? Okay, because it says in the beginning of the parak, "Vayera liyoyna ra'agidoyla." What does it mean over here? The evil. And another question: didn't we already say that "Vayasloy sham sukkah"? didn't Yonah already build for himself shelter? So what is this coming to add that Yonah did not already have? He already had air conditioning. He already had all the creature comforts.
It's not the same when you have a tree. They cut down the tree in front of my house and I swelter now.
Yeah.
He comes in, I'm inside.
It's not the same.
Okay,
let's see. It could very well be in Echanami. Ain't Echanami that it, you need the combination of both. Okay, you need the combination of the cell of the tree. In addition, the two work very well together. You say something very, very deep, very profound. A sukkah, you have to have a tzilza, meruba mechamasa, mechamsa. But the problem is that we'll wait for that.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a combination. There's a combination of two things coming that will come a little bit wrong. Lahatzal mirasai. Vana, here's a very important pasuk. This pasuk over here is very critical. Vayismach yoina al hakika yoin simcha gidoila. Yoina had very great pleasure in this kika yoin. That is a very critical pasuk which we need to dwell upon. Let's go slow. What?
A mood swing.
Okay. Let's go one pasuk at a time. Let's first take a look at the mitzvah started. The mitzvah started pasuk. Hey, let's start with that. Go through the rest of the mitzvah. These two pasuk. Pasuk hey begins Ad Asher Yireh. He jumps right into the mitzvah started pasuk. Hey, he jumps right into the end of the pasuk. It's interesting. Normally, the mitzvah started goes through every single word of the pasuk. For some reason here, the Mitzvah David did not. He left out most of the pasuk. It's very bizarre. It's very not the nature of the Mitzvah David to leave out anything in the pasuk. I don't really know what happened here. Why here the whole most of the pasuk is missing? Ad asher yireh ki chashav ulay lo yamdu b'shuvasam v'sachzer hagzer l'mekayma. Okay, so Mitzvah Stav is painting a dark picture. He's saying, his assumption is that Yonah, it was already known to Yonah with clarity that the Ribbono Shel Olam have forgiven the people of Nineveh and they will not be destroyed. Now, it doesn't say that anywhere. It does not say anywhere that Hashem forgave them. All we learned is the Pasuk Yud is Vayar, go back and Perek Gimel, two pages back, in page 436, it says, "Vayar ho Elokim es maaseihem, ki shavu midarkam hara, vayinochem ho Elokim al hara asher diber lasos lechem lo yosa." Now, that's Hashem. Hashem saw, Hashem changed his mind, and Hashem made a decision. But it does not say anywhere explicitly in what we have learned that Hashem informed Yonah of his decision. Doesn't say. And even though Pasuk Dalet Vayera El Yonah Ra'ah Gedoila, all that means is Yonah saw people were doing teshuvah. He saw they were doing teshuvah, so Yonah got the impression it may happen. Maybe yeah, maybe no. Maybe yeah, maybe no. So if you would take it, but Hashem doesn't say anywhere in the previous parak that Hashem told Yonah that he changed his mind and he's not going to destroy them. It says in the pasuk very clearly, "Vayara ho'elokim." There's no communication. Now, if that would be correct, Yonah is getting a sense that yes, Hashem is going to forgive them because they are doing teshuvah. Then, very simply, you would say that when Yonah he went out of the city and he sat on the east side of the city to see Ad Asher Yireh Ma Yihyeh Bo'ir, to see if Hashem will accept their teshuvah, because Hashem did not yet tell Yonah, what his decision is. No one knows what Hashem's decision is, just because Hashem decides. But yet, that's not what the Mitzvah David says. The Mitzvah David, his understanding of the Pesukim is that Yonah somehow, either through prophecy or he had simonim mufhakim on this world, that Hashem indeed has decided not to destroy Nineveh. What it says in Pasuk Yud, Vayarhu Elokim es maaseihem, Yonah had inside information. This decision was channeled down to Yonah. So what then is he doing? He should go home. No, he's hoping that they will go back to their evil ways very, very quickly, and Hashem will once again change his mind, okay, backwards, to decide to destroy them. Well, look what he writes. One more time, the Mitzudos Davin, page 440. Ki choshev ulai. Ulai always means, I hope so. Right? Verse the word pen. Pen means, I hope not. Ulai means, I hope yes. Mr. Barth, welcome back. Baruch Reifei Chaylim. It's so good to see you.
I can say, I'm walking in.
Baruch Hashem. A refuah shalema. A refuah shalema. Refuah shalema. Okay, so Pasuk over here says, Ki chashav ulai lo yamdu bishuvasam. He's hoping they will not be able to sustain their repentance. V'sachzor ha-gezeru l'mukayma. Now, is that nice? Is that a nice thing to do? It's not a nice thing to do. Hashem is so kind to forgive you, to forgive a person, and you're sitting and you're camping out, hoping that the people will not be able to sustain their teshuva, and Hashem will change his mind and destroy these people. It's not a nice thing. It's a very shocking interpretation.
Yonah is clearly on the side of Klal Yisrael.
Period.
It's
consistent.
It's loyal. Okay. There's a degree of saying the loyalty. Okay. Very good. Okay. You're giving a very good hesber. The loyalty to Klal Yisrael really goes to show. It goes to show you have to be loyal to your life. You're right. You're right. Like that story that I told you is about the child who comes to the principal's office. The parent gets a call from the principal's office. The child's a terror. And the principal wants to throw the child out of yeshiva, and now they've made that decision. He walks in and he says, the principal tells him all the Lashon Hara, and he says, what? Do you mean to tell me that my child is not the best one in the whole yeshiva? The best of the best? You're telling me he's not, you're telling me, how could that be? The principal wants to throw him out. He's the bottom of the barrel. And the parent is in shock that he's not the top student. So, a parent is loyal to their child. There's something to it. It's an amazing insight of what loyalty means. You're right, okay? You're right, it's not a joke. It's really very, it's very, very true. You say it's true. You have to be loyal. It's a
but
very,
it is consistent with, from the very beginning.
Well, it depends on who. You have to look at each...
He wanted the mission to fail. Right. Now he's still hoping.
He's still hoping. You're right. Loyalty goes all the way to the very, very end. Okay, next. Pasuk Vav.
What's wrong with them wanting people to do tshuva?
What?
What's wrong with them wanting people to do
tshuva? But as we discussed a number of times, is that if they will do tshuva, they will not be destroyed. And then what are the consequences for us? They will continue to exile the Aseres HaShvatim. So that is not good for us. Better they be destroyed and leave us alone. But Hashem has harbei shluchim l'makom. If Hashem's not going to exile us through Nineveh, Hashem will find another nation to do the dirty work. No, we'll worry about it then. Right now, we have to look at what's in front of us, what's on our plate. Okay, vayiman, pasigva, vayiman. Now it's a hard word to translate. We had it already before. We had the word already a couple of times. And we're going to see over here different translations. Over here, it's Smiach Eis. On the one hand, the Mitzudos Tzion, he says, Vayiman inyin hazmana, designation. Hashem designated. Yet in the Mitzudos David, the same person, he writes, it's Smiach Esef.
It's not a translation. It's just a filling in.
Okay, it's the same idea. It's the same idea where Kadosh Baruch Hu, he prepared. He prepared, and by what do you mean he prepared? He brought about its growth, its sprouting. Hitzmiach Esef ki kayoin v'gadol l'malo v'olam mimal l'yon l'yos lo l'tzel l'hatziloi mizricha sachamo hara olay. So the Mitzvah adds in, what is hara o? What does it mean, mere o soy? It refers specifically to the intense heat. It doesn't say that in the pasuk. He's adding, injecting the ra'ah is heat. It's very, very hot. Kitzel, but he doesn't have a sukkah. Didn't he build one moment ago a beautiful sukkah? No. Kitzel ha-sukkah hu-davar she'enay masmid. It's not sufficient. It's not continuous. Ki ha'olechu misyabesh michoim ha-shemesh. Now the sukkah, he says, is something which is not sustainable. it dries out due to the heat of the sun. I'm not exactly sure what that means. You could build a building.
The building
doesn't...
What? Becomes like a hot box.
Comes... All right, whatever that means, it's not really clear. I mean, whatever it is, it is.
Well, it also could depend on the course of the day, where the sun is,
But look further. See, look further. What we weave through over here is going to shed light on the unique. Well, what is exactly this kikoyon, this mysterious plant? The loichein hakikoyon hayoneku retivos haaretz. The fact that it's a living organism, it's a tree, it's a plant, it is continuously nourished with from the moisture of the earth. So there's wetness. This wetness, this moisture somehow enhances the shade. There's a qualitative benefit of having a tree provide for you shade versus a inanimate object. He's taking an idea which I really don't know what it means. You have to talk to a scientist.
A
dried up object versus just a physical shelter. A physical shelter, it is what it is. There is no moisture. A tree, what he's saying, again, I don't know what a tree, but when it provides shade, it doesn't just provide shade. It's a wet shade. What does that mean? I don't know. It's a wet shade. Because the leaves, the branches that they're sheltering you, they are moist. And that moisture somehow, some way, channels into the shade that it provides and provides an experience of pleasure that is qualitatively superior to what a roof, a piece of metal, a piece of plastic, a piece of wood can provide for you in the shade. Now, is that really true from our perspective? If you go out into a hot day, 110 degrees, and you're underneath there, you could either be underneath a tree that's attached to the ground that has moisture, or you can be under a piece of wood, a piece of anything, a piece of plastic, a piece of metal. Do we sense a difference in the quality of the shade? Yes? Okay, if the answer is yes, I'm not familiar with this. Okay, but remember, Maevsky was saying something a little bit different. That's what struck me, because there's such a principle in this regard to sukkah. Let's try to piece this together. And that is, it's now a double shade. You have your shelter, your sukkah, like a sukkah. So you put up a sukkah with some schach, and then on top of that, you have a tree. Okay, a tree, which makes it to a not kosher sukkah.
Right.
Okay, it makes it to a not kosher sukkah. So when you have the double combination, then enochinami, it's a much better experience when two different types of shelter work together. Now there is a halacha when it comes to a sukkah, you have to have in a sukkah more shade than sun, and the Gemara has a discussion. This is the point I want to make. The Gemara has a discussion. What happens if your sukkah is higher than 20 amas?
Right.
If the walls of the sukkah are higher than 20 amas, the schach is higher than 20 amas, it's pasul.
Right.
Why? The Gemara is because when it comes to 20 amas, you're no longer getting shade from the schach. You're now getting shade from the defanas. Okay, so if the sukkah is higher than 20 amas, you're no longer getting shade. Now the problem is, make a calculation in the Northern Hemisphere, in Brooklyn, or in Eretz Yisrael, and go into a sukkah, and you will discover, even according to the smallest shiur of an amma, let's assume it's 18 inches, you will no longer be getting shade in a kosher sukkah. I'm not talking about a sukkah the size of a football stadium. I'm talking about a kosher sukkah, which is 7 tvachim by 7 tvachim. Once already you get, I'm not making up numbers now, to 5 amos, okay? Get to maybe 5 amos. Let's say 10 amos, okay? You want to take 10 amos. 10 amos is 20 feet, okay, or 15 feet. If you have a sukkah that's 15 feet tall, and a very small, and a regular, even a small 8 by 10 sukkah, you know, whatever you have else, and then you have schach on top. Yeah?
No, I'm just curious. It's pasuk. What does it say? Sukkah.
We're not talking about a hut. I just want to bring out Rabbi Yossi was saying. We're talking about a hut. A sukkah does not mean a halachic sukkah, 100%. Right. A hut. A person builds a hut. But let's. I want to bring in a point. If you today go build your sukkah, a halachic sukkah, and the halachic sukkah, let's make believe it's 10 amos, which is between 7.5 feet tall and 10 feet tall, right? I say 15 feet, 20 feet. So that's only half the limit. You're allowed to go up to 20 amos. And you have a sukkah, regular standard size. I have a standard size sukkah. You will be no longer getting shade from the schach at that point.
You're getting from the walls.
So this is the first.
Unless the sun is directly above.
There's no such thing as sun being directly above. In the northern hemisphere, the sun is never directly above.
So where is it?
It's always north. Always.
South?
I'm sorry. Okay, south. So always south. Always south. And whether you're living in Bavel or you're living in Eretz Yisrael, you're living anywhere where Jews ever lived, traditionally, okay, it's never going to happen. So, and this is the first daf of Masechta Sukkah. That until 20 amos, you're getting shade from the schach. But more than 20 amos, the schach is possible because you're no longer getting shade from the schach, you're getting shade from the walls. Excuse me. A lot less than 20 amos. No matter how you want to calculate 20 amos, are you getting shade from the walls? So what in the world does the Gemara mean? So I know we asked questions. What Pashtunka, I remember he passed away, Dr. Aaron Price. Dr. Aaron Price, he told me this. He asked this question many, many years. He asked this question. He was a big mathematician. He likes to make these calculations. Very typical thing, what he does. And he said he asked Rav Aaron Schechter, Rosh Yeshiva Chaim Berlin, I think it was in the summer. So if Aaron Schechter is a good question, the Ran asks you a question. Look in the Ran. Right. Go look in the Ran. He looked in the Ran, and the Ran basically explains an incredible, incredible insight into the laws of Sukkah, which is very relevant to this. And that is, when it says you're getting shade from the Schach, it doesn't mean you're getting physical shade. There are the rays of the sun. You block the rays of the sun. Very good. The rays of the sun are coming down. I put something in its way. I blocked it. Okay. When I blocked it, by blocking it, what does it do? There's some type of reaction which now provides comfort. It provides shade. Shade doesn't just mean cell. Doesn't just mean you've blocked the rays of the sun. It means it provides. It takes away heat. It provides comfort. Even if you've blocked the rays of the sun, let's take it like this. You have a very tall sukkah. You have no schach whatsoever, nothing. You have a big sukkah. It's very, very tall, and there's no schach.
No roof.
And you were sitting inside, and the walls are very tall. Are you sitting in the shade? Physically, are you sitting in the shade? Absolutely. There is no shade. If you were to now put schach on top, put up a roof, the temperature would drop.
Right.
But what do you mean? I didn't do anything. Right now I'm sitting here, there are no rays of sun. Because the walls are blocked at all the rays of sun. Very good. But by putting on schach, not only are you not going to have rays of sun, that's irrelevant, it's going to add a new dimension that's not visible, a dimension that's invisible, that now, because the sun's not going to even be able to come in a little bit onto the walls on the very, very top of your sukkah, because the sun will still come in on an angle on the very top, because you've cut that off, the coolness that the rays of the sun are not going to bounce off the top of the walls is going to filter down, and when you're sitting on the bottom of the sukkah, it's going to be a better experience than it would have been if there was no roof on at all on top. And this is what it says in the Ran. So Tzel, Tzchach doesn't, Tzchach, we are misled. We are always, we always think that Tzchach does one thing only. Tzchach blocks the rays of the sun. It does, that's true, because we sit in very small sukkahs, and we don't have very, the average sukkah is very, very small, and the Tzchach is just right on top of us. So if there would not be Tzchach, the rays of the sun would come in. It's much more than that. It's not just that it blocks the rays of the sun. There's an effect that the temperature in the sukkah is lower than it would have been had there not been Tzchach. And that is true even if you are already not getting the rays of the sun penetrating into your sukkah. Now when you take that idea and you plug it into the pasuk over here, there's a whole new dimension. Yonah built for himself a sukkah. He built for himself a hut. The hut has walls and has a ceiling, a roof. Okay, not necessarily, but let's assume the best. Let's assume that the sukkah is a hut that has walls and it has a roof. So he's sitting here in this little hut. Yeah, tachtecha. Vayeshev tachtecha. On it, there's a roof. So he's sitting in this hut. There are walls. There's a roof. The rays of the sun are not beating down upon him. But the rays of the sun are beating down right on top of it. Right on top of the roof. Now by HaKadosh Baruch Hu causing a plant to grow and to rise very, very tall and to envelop not just him, but not just that, but develop the entire area, the rays of the sun have been cut off at a much higher point. So now the trickle-down effect of the coolness is enhanced that much more. Again, just like when it comes to sukkah, there are really two things in every sukkah that are contributing to your experience. The walls, which block the rays of the sun, no matter what, no matter where you are. And number two, the schach. And if you have a very, very tall sukkah, 20 amos, 19 amos, the rays of the sun are not coming into your sukkah. But you need the schach in addition, and the schach is also an enhancement, because the schach cuts off the rays of the sun all the way up there, and the trickle-down effect of there not being rays of the sun and allowing the area inside to be clean, to be cleared from this intensity is present, which gives you a better experience. It's a combination. So here it's exactly the same thing. Here it's Yonah built a sukkah, and Hashem is now coming to enhance his sukkah by creating a secondary shelter. That's an idea, but that is an idea. But that's not exactly what it says in the Mitzvah Stavik. And I was telling you a different idea, what I was bringing out in the beginning. The Mitzvah Stavik doesn't go with that. He just says something, a new concept is that it almost sounds like Hashem is coming to replace the sukkah. Yonah, you're sitting in a sukkah. Get out of the sukkah. Come, sit outside underneath this tree, this plant called the Kikoyoin. It's a much better experience. It's not a double experience. I'm trying to suggest is that, based upon this Ran in the Sefer Sukkah, is that Yoni here is doubly enveloped. He's in the sukkah, and outside the sukkah there's the Kikoyoin, and the combination is a winning combination. Just like you learn in the first half of Masechta Sukkah, that when you sit in shade, there are two different factors which enhance your experience. The walls and the schach. Here also, there is the sukkah and there is the kikoyon. It's a double experience. Okay, that's what I'm trying to suggest. It's not exactly what the Mitzvah David says. What here he appears to say is there are two different things entirely. There is the sukkah and there is the kikoyon. Where would you rather find shelter? Of course, you would rather go out to the kikoyon because there's some degree of moisture, there's some retivus that is also sensed when you're underneath the kikoyon.
The illumination doesn't just come from the direct rays, it's all reflected off the sky and
reflected off the tunnels.
So it's certainly going to cut down on the illumination if it's not right in any case.
It's going to cut down the illumination on the very, very top. What does the Gemara Masech Masukah say? Right, but what is the Gemara? The Mishnah Masech Masukah says, the first half Masech Masukah, the first Mishnah, if Schach is above 20 Amos, above 20. You're not getting benefit from the schach. You're only getting benefit from the walls. But the question is, even if the schach is less than 20 amos, the schach is already 10 amos on your average sukkah, you're no longer getting... You're getting the indirect. Exactly, it's the indirect. So the indirect is like a doubling. I'm trying to say it's like a double. It's a double effect. That's exactly what's happening over here. Yonah's in the sukkah. He built for himself one layer of protection. So what is Hashem doing? What is Hashem coming to enhance Yonah that it's going to be a simcha gedoyla, such a great simcha? It's a double. It's the secondary. Okay, that's based upon what I said from the Ran. But the Mitzvah Stavit does not say that. The Mitzvah Stavit seems to indicate that that Hashem is telling Yonah, get out of the sukkah. Get out. Come sit over here underneath the tree. What tree? Look at that. A miracle happened. There's a tree. Yeah. The play on the word, Hatzalah. Hashem saves you. And there are different interpretations of what that means. You're saying the play on the word, you're saying the play on the word that the Spoken Hebrew is coming to save him. We have the word save you, you're saying over here, we don't have the word saving over here yet. Oh, Lahatzil, I'm sorry, he does say Lahatzil. So there's a play on the word. So therefore, there's a message. Tzel and Lahatzil, Hatzalah, are obviously related. And Hashem is creating a tzel in order Lahatzilai. A sukkah.
Are you saying that if Yonah, if he sat in the sukkah, which had a roof on it, and then you put on top, and then grew over there this plant, then it would provide, which is
additional comfort.
So even though it's above the roof.
Correct, exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, but what he's saying...
That's exactly
what I'm saying. Just like when you're in a sukkah and you have very, very tall walls, the walls are sheltering you from the hot sun. So what are you gaining by putting schach on top of these tall walls? So the walls are 19 amos tall. What am I gaining? I'm already, there's no shade in the sukkah. The walls blocked out all the shade. There's no such thing as the sun being directly on top of me. It doesn't exist. So what does it mean in the Mishnah? So the Ran asked this question. The Ran says, you're absolutely right. Once already you read a couple of amos, there are no rays of sun in your sukkah. But yet, when you put schach on top of the sukkah, it enhances the experience. It provides another, it knocks off the rays of sun at a higher level. And then it trickles down, because the rays of sun are not coming into the sukkah at the very top, so that part of the sukkah is not getting hot. That part is cool. And when it's cool on top, so it doesn't trickle down to make the low portion of the sukkah hotter than it ordinarily would be. So there's a double experience, even though it's not visible. Here too, Yonah created the sukkah for himself, to shelter from the rays of the sun. Hashem now is upgrading him to first class, business class, by putting another layer higher on top to block.
Even though
he's already protected from rain, from the rays of the sun. But still, outside of his layer of his roof, it's 150 degrees. Now, when you cut off that intensity much, much higher, so then on top of this sukkah, it's not 150 degrees. It's only 90 degrees. So when I'm in my hut below, it will be 80 degrees. Whatever you mean. It just trickles down to make it.
The Mitzvah David is saying more. He's saying, you have just schach on the sukkah. The sun will eventually erode that schach.
Is that what it means?
What he's saying. He's saying, Dabar Sheina Masmit Ki Hoylecha Mesyadesh. It dries up.
Okay?
Sails,
it's not going to last.
It doesn't last. But the keeps on getting moisture
from its own source. Okay, so he's saying that you're sitting underneath this hut you built, it's gonna dry up. It's going to not very quickly. It's going to shrivel. It's going to shrivel very soon.
But the kikayon
will never shrivel because it's deriving its own moisture from the earth. Okay?
You know scientifically, two layers are insulates.
Right. Two layers. Every window has today two panes, And in between the two panes, they put gas in, make it even better. Right. So you see the principle. You understand. They understand the principle. Exactly. So yeah, that's really what Hashem is doing. Hashem is providing for Yonah two panes of glass.
It should have been in the window business.
Along the tree, always the air goes
yes.
I know, my child, my son, wanted to buy a car.
Yeah.
No wind, nothing. The only way to raise the car was next to a tree. The air
interesting.
From
he's saying very interesting. A tree has the ability to cause the air to ascend.
Ascend, yeah.
Circulation. Fascinating, and that's really true. When you fly a kite near a tree, is where you're going to get
the
biggest wind.
Up the
very, very interesting.
Calm.
Under a tree, you have more circulation, and the circulation, the breeze, obviously, is what brings the pleasure. Okay, so there's a lot of science here. Yeah.
What does it say here?
Only Yonah.
Inside
the sukkah. So you want to say it was the double layer inside the sukkah. Okay?
The bottom layer was.
Okay. I was saying that the kikayon was on top of the sukkah. You're saying that it was double, but the kikayon was in the sukkah. And on top of the kikayon was the structure. All right. Maybe. Who knows? Maybe. Okay, let's see. Let's take a look over here. Let's see over here. Now, by the way, very important. Let's go look over here. The Mitzudo Sion. I want to really try to delve into this word. The Kikoyon is a rare word. The word Kikoyon over here is Shem Esef Sha'olav Gidaylim or Sha'olav. It's leaves. Ar Gidaylim or Chavim. Esef. It's not, you know, everyone over here has their own take on the word because it's the only place that appears in Tanakh, in Sefer Yonah. Everyone has their own take on the word kikoyoin, and the Mitzudos, we're starting with him, he says it's in grass.
Well,
it's not
grass.
A tree.
It doesn't mean necessarily grass, it can mean vegetation.
It's a vegetation.
Okay, fine, the vegetation.
That's the first thing. It's not animal.
It doesn't say it's an eitz. Doesn't say it's a tree. It is the difference between the word eitz and it doesn't say a bush either. It's not a bush. Asef. Asef literally means grass.
It's some form of vegetation quality.
Okay.
Asef must be isn't limited to grass. It's vegetation. It's a broad
okay.
Something that grows out of the ground.
Okay, fine. The word he's selecting is Asef, she'olav, its leaves, gidoylim urechavim, large and wide. I saw one of the mefarshim. It says, I told you, the gematria of Kikoyon is 276. It's a type of tree which has exactly 276 leaves. Chazal like to do this. They tell us about the rimoin, the pomegranate, has exactly 613 seeds.
Whether it does or not.
It doesn't. Go try it. It doesn't. I don't think. Supposedly, someone did this. Someone did a scientific study, and they took the pomegranates from all over the world, and it varies to a very, very large degree.
What?
There are some that
do have 613.
Not really.
What's the matter of Guzma?
Guzma? What's the matter? And supposedly, when they took a sampling of pomegranates from all over the world, it's pretty. The average is pretty close to 613. You're not going to find anywhere in the world pomegranates all over the world. Okay, you'll go by all the places. You're not going to find any pomegranate that has 613. But supposedly, if it's true or not, I do not know. If you take a sampling from all over the world of various pomegranates from different cultures, different climates. The average is in that range.
Where does it say in Chazal that it has 600?
It says it.
Yes.
Mole, it says beferish. It says beferish. Yeah, it says. Okay, then they talk about roses. It says Chavatzelas Hasharon. Okay, so there's a medrash that says it has exactly 13 petals. We don't know what that means because of our roses, they don't have 13 petals. So what does that mean exactly? It's a Ferish Medrash, and Shir Ashirim. I think even Rashi quotes it. So they're very, very often we have in Mamari Chazal, that describe fruits or vegetables, flowers, and they tell us at this particular Rimon 613 seeds. This flower has exactly 13 petals. Over here, he's telling us that this kikoyon, I saw that I have a little say from my bag, that the kikoyon is a medrash, it is a certain type of bush, whatever it is, that has exactly 276 leaves. That's it's DNA, it's nature. That's what the caterpillar has how many legs? There are certain types of things which have a certain, it's built into its DNA, how it grows. And that is why, one of the reasons why it was given this name, Kikoyon, based upon this gematria. Do we know of such a thing today? I don't think so. We've never heard of such a thing today. A tree that has exactly, a grade grows at 600, 276, but we never seen a pomegranate that has exactly 613 seeds. We have not seen certain types of roses that have X number of petals. Yeah.
And it's the same thing with humans.
The limbs, organs. A man has Ramach 248, a woman has 252, and together it's 500, Bigamatria, Peru, Uruvu. We discussed this. So go to a doctor, someone who specializes in anatomy, and ask them to identify the Ramach Evarim. They're going to have a hard time. Okay, they're going to have a very hard time. And Ushasagidin. Okay, 365 sinews. Okay, they're going to have a very hard time coming to identify. Okay, what about the chulios, the vertebrae on the spine? So I think that's easier.
Yeah,
Chazal said 18. So that I think they can identify. You can break it down into 18/19. There's another one, v'lamalshinim. Okay, so that is a little bit easier. But Chazal, lama nikru talmidei chachamim soifrim. Why are Talmidei Chachamim called scribes? It's the word Sofer means a counter. Count Dracula. Why are they called counters? Because they count everything. It's a very powerful technique to count. It's a very good way to remember. Very good way to put everything in perspective. Is what? When you count, things have a whole different meaning. Let's take a look at the Radak. So far we've done. We're not finished with the Mitzvah. We're not yet finished with the Mitzvah stuff. Let's go to the next page. Okay, the next page is Pasik. We finished the Mitzvah David. The Mitzvah David. We did Pasik Hey and Vav, and that's it. There's no more Mitzvah David. You know, we have Hey and Vav. Vayismach. Okay, one more words. Page 443. Vayismach al ki hayala litzel masmid. What's the simcha? So he's saying something very, very deep. And that is, you know what simcha really means? What does it mean, simcha? Everyone struggles. The sasoin, the simcha, gila, rina, ditsa, the chedra, avav, yachva. Define the difference between all these different words. So there are many mahalchim, we're not doing any of that. But he says here one very important insight. Simcha is something which is sustained. It's continuous. It says, "Vayismach yoyna al hakika yoyn simcha gedoyla." What's the great simcha? The simcha is al ki hayoloy litzel masmid. Daigus. We have what takes away simcha in our life? Daigus. What are we worried about? Basically, we're worried that what we have will come to an end. I have a job. I'm afraid tomorrow I'm going to lose the job. I'm afraid that the rent's going to go up. I'm afraid that whatever I have will come to an end. That takes away when there is a daiga recognition that what you have is not going to endure. It's not going to be sustained for a long period of time. It's fleeting. It takes away joy. Okay, why is a wedding a time of great simcha? Because it was designed. The way marriage was designed is, that's it. This is the way it's going to be for the rest of your life. Okay, you have a partner, and it's eternal. The erastich li le'olam, forever. The erastich le'olam. When something is meant to be le'olam, there's no greater hasmada. There's no greater continuity. That is simcha. That is the mahus of simcha. something which is established, which is meant to be forever for a very long period of time. That's called simcha.
That's why Yismach Moshe b'man haschelko. I mean, he was always in that state.
Yismach Moshe b'man haschelko ki eve nemon kiroslo. Yeah, in Echanami. Every time that this is his interpretation. Okay, I'm not saying that everyone agrees to this interpretation, but he does add here an explosive statement. You know, we take the unfortunately we don't like the we don't usually give the Mitzvah Davar the credit he deserves. Right, he's like, okay, the Pashup Shah of the Pasig, the bare bones, the article translation is the Mitzvah Davar. And then when you want to go give a very fancy, very deep, profound drasha, and oh, we're going to go into the Radak and the decipher in Ibn Ezra, we'll look at the Malbim. The Mitzvah Davar, at times, he says very, very deep ideas. We just gloss over it. And he says there's something that he does. He adds all these things into the Pasig.
I like to say it's peace of mind, because if you say the Bu is only Shurim and no Simcha, the reason they use the word Simcha is that you could have Dangis and still be a Navi, because at least you have peace of mind with your place with God, so to speak. You are at peace.
Because
it's could have trouble, but
this
you're
is
at
where
peace.
This is where you are.
You
it's
are an
it's
state. The same. So Yitzhak Moshe Matnas Kelko, he had a lot of aggravation, but he had his faith in God was never shaken.
It's not going to go away. Simcha zuyamtif. Ayra is, so he's saying very good. What does it mean, simcha? I was Torah. And then simcha's yamtif. So what was Purim? Purim was established as a yamtif forever. It will not even be bottled in the times of Mashiach. He's saying very good. What was the simcha? He's saying a very, very good gestaltzu. Laihud Moshe, Oyra Simcha v'Sason Dikar Kein Tielanu. Oyra Zu Torah. Simcha Zu Yom Tov. Which Yom Tov? Purim. Purim turned into a Yom Tov. Chazal say, the different Mamari Chazal, but popular Chazal is, that Purim will never be bottled. In the times of Mashiach, the Moadim will either be bottled or be downplayed. But Purim will be maintained as a primary holiday. Forever. So you see, the word simcha is used to express this idea of le'olam, hasmada, something which will be maintained. So this is the simcha. The simcha over here is that now that he has this kikoyon, he has something to worry about. The sukkah will wither away, but the kikoyon will endure. Let's now take a look at the radak. Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk Hey Vav, there is no Rashi on Pasuk Hey, Pasuk Vav, Vayiman, Lishoin, Hazmana, the Mitzudah said exactly the same word. Let's look at the 60 Zakenim, Vayiman, Perish Rash, Lashon Hazmana, Adkan. Hashoresh, Mem, Nun, Hey. The Shoresh is Mem, Nun, the Hey is missing. Okay, the Hey is the Lamed, Poal,
Nun,
Pei, Ayin, Pei, Ayin, Lamed, the Lamed, the Hey is missing. The last letters is the Chasarna, Hey. He says here hazmana, not the count. Vayiman is hazmana. Let's read what it says. Hashoresh mem nun hei uvichesor na hei binyan pikeid ye omer vayiman kmo vayigal v'kal lahavin. And in this form, the hei drops out and is replaced with a yud. Okay, I'm not all that good with grammar. But in the different, the Shiva binyanim, the seven binyanim, in this binyan, it's like mono, mem nun hay, the hay falls away in this form, and we replace it with the yud, vayiman, Hashem designated. Okay, that's important, because the word vayiman, we'll come back to, is a very critical word in Sefer Yonah. Four times Chazal emphasized this word, vayiman, four times in Sefer Yonah, each time Hashem's name is attached to this word, and each time it's significant in what is taking place. These are the four critical breakpoints in Sefer Yonah. So it's very important to know, get a hand on the Shoresh, what exactly is the word. The word Vayiman, in our word, it doesn't have the hey. We're adding a hey to the Shoresh, which gives it a whole new word, which makes it into Hazmana, Hashem prepared. Look, we have the mon, the lechem abirim. So what does it mean, mon? What is it? What is the meaning of mon? The mana is called food, right? So mana is also mana is a portion. Mana means isn't that really an Aramaic word? A mana is a portion. Mana also can mean in the Hebrew word to prepare. Hashem prepares food for every single person. Hashem doesn't just give you food. Hashem prepares your mezonos. Hashem prepares your parnasa. It's not just magic. I'll give you an example. I saw when a sefer writes, we learned this not that long ago, when a sefer writes a sefer Torah. So we discussed this, that when he writes Hashem's name, what does he do? He has to go to mikvah, la halacha. If you don't go to mikvah, the sefer Torah is puzzle. Okay, when you write Hashem's name, no monkey business. Hashem's name, you have to go to mikvah. Serious business. And before you write Hashem's name, you must say, L'shem kiddushas Hashem. There's something else that people, not everyone knows. Before the sefer writes Hashem's name, everyone, the Kes HaSefer and the Mishnah Berurah say this, you don't just say, okay, I went to mikvah, I'm now ready to write Hashem's name, L'shem kiddushas Hashem. Okay, where's my kulmus? Where's the inkwell? Oh, here it is, okay. And you dip it in, okay, and you start writing Hashem's name. You don't do that. It's not the way it works. The way it works is, you take the kulmus, you take your inkwell, you dip it into the inkwell, and you write another word, or another letter. And then when you're up to Hashem's name, then, okay, now I'm ready. L'shem kiddushas Hashem, and then you write Hashem's name. Why? So the simple reason is, you want to make sure the pen and the ink really work. Okay? Because if you're going to say L'shem kiddushas Hashem, and then you dip your kulmus into the ink, and then you start writing, and then you see it's all smudged, and the ink is polluted, or the kulmus is damaged, so you basically, you botched up. You wrote Hashem's name, and it didn't really come out the right way, and you got a big problem. Because it looks like Hashem's name, but it's not really good enough to sell on the Sefer Torah, so you ruin the whole, you can't erase it. That's Kedusha.
So you can go, let's say, half an hour to get to Hashem's name.
No, right before you write something else, you can just practice on a piece of paper just to make sure that the pen and the ink work on another piece of paper, and then you write Hashem's name. So you have to make sure for real that it actually works. That's only one reason. Then the Mishnah Berurah says something amazing. He says that's not the only reason. You have to sanctify the ink on the kulmus. In other words, if you're going to say L'shem kiddushas Hashem, and then pick up the pen and dip the pen into the ink, and then write Hashem's name, did you sanctify the ink? No. I didn't sanctify the whole ink well. You don't do that. When I finish writing, I can take the inkwell, I can go write, give it to the New York Times to print all the news that's not fit to print. Okay? You can do whatever you want when you're finished. But when you write Hashem's name, you want to sanctify that ink. So therefore, you have to take your kulmus, dip it into the ink, now on the pen, you write a letter to practice, now there's ink left on the kulmus. When you say L'shem Kiddushas Hashem, you're not just saying it in preparation for what you're going to write. You've also sanctified the ink on the pen. Now that's called Vayiman. When you get the food in front of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you provides you food, you sit down to a meal, and there's a piece of bread in front of you. So, Hashem gave it to me. Hashem didn't just give you that bread. Hashem planned way ahead, every step of the way, that you should have that.
I say the word is allocated. Hashem allocated a lot.
It's not just allocated.
Yeah, it is. Because
allocated has a connotation that Hashem just gave it to you right now. Vayiman, hazmana means there is a preparation. There was a.
That doesn't have to mean that.
Appropriate.
Hashem planned what share everybody gets at a given time.
It's not just planned, it's prepared. The word prepare has a much stronger, much heavier word than appropriated, than planned, than allocated, allotted. Because those words more or less mean, okay, Hashem is now making a decision. I have here all the stuff. You get this, you get this, you get this, and you get this. We're going to divide the spoils. I have over here a lot of food. Everyone gets what they're supposed to get. The word prepare means it didn't come out of the ground until Hashem says, listen, I got a fellow here in this part of the world. He in 3 days from now, he's going to need to eat lunch. Let's now prepare for his sustenance. Let's go through the effort of preparing. The man is, we have here a very important word, Rashi, and this is not the only translation. We have over here the word Vayiman Hashem Elokim Ki Koyoy. Rashi, Hazmana, preparation. What does the word man, Vayiman mean Hazmana? Miloshon Mina, Mem Nun He. Mina means to prepare. That's a very powerful word. It means that Hashem did not make a split-second decision. This fellow Yonah is going to have a heat stroke in 5 minutes. So let me right now go and do a miracle and let's make this kikoyon sprout for him. No, that's not the way it works. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was planning this whole story from day one. Before Hashem called Yonah and said, Yonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, before Yonah got on the ship to run away to Tarshish, Hashem already knew what's going to happen. Hashem already knew this whole story. And right away, Vayiman, there was a preparation made back from Maaseh Bereishis that this thing should grow at this moment in time, in this place, because Hashem already saw where this is going to happen. And Michal, you agree? The word Vayiman is a much more powerful word.
Yes.
And now by extension, let's go back to Parshas Haman. Wow, why is the man called the man? So at face value, you think about, oh, it was just Hashem decided the people are in the desert. What?
It's Evan Pazika. They said, Ma'u, what is it?
Yeah.
That's why it's called man.
Man, so you see, that's exactly what they called it man. Excellent. See, exactly the point. You see, you're touching upon a lot of these things. There's another meaning of the word man. And that means, it comes from a question of Mahu. It's another meaning. What is this? It's a question. What does Rashi there say? Okay, you're right. When it comes, there are other translations for the word. What is this? Basically means mon. It's a question, a rhetorical question. Who? What? Who? What is this? Who are you? But it doesn't there simply mean preparation, and that's exactly the problem. Hashem calls it mon, and we call it mon. Hashem calls it mon. Because Hashem planned this. Hashem went through enormous effort that every single person should have what he needs. And we are ungrateful. And we take Hashem's blessing and we say to Hashem, what is this? What are you bothering us? Hashem went through the effort to prepare way in advance every person should have what he needs. Lashon Hazmana. And we, the ungrateful earthlings, we take what Hashem's blessing and we throw it back at him. And we say, oh, there's another translation for the word man. Not Hazmana. It doesn't have a hey at the end of the word. It doesn't say, where you get, Hashem, where you get this thing, mana, prepare. Man means who? Who are you? What are you? What is this? Let's just say something. What is this? What a chutzpah. What a chutzpah. You say to Hashem, what is this? When Hashem went through enormous effort to prepare this for you on a silver platter, that's all part of the last week's parasha, that the people said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Nafsheinu Yivesha, B'lechem HaKeloiko Hazeh. It's all part of the chutzpah. And the people, they had a different translation of the word man than Hashem's translation of the word man.
I can say, my man, Hashem made the Kikaryon to be messenger, to go to do this job. Messenger of Hashem is.
A messenger?
Yeah.
A shliach of Hashem?
Yeah. He's appointed Hashem him to go east.
Him? He's saying that the man is a person.
No, the Kikaryon was messenger.
Did the Kikaryon talk?
Huh? No, Hashem.
Give a
question. Okay. Well,
okay, it's not so simple what the Kikaryon is. Maybe the Kikaryon is a person.
Is a worm that
you're right.
Going to eat.
Maybe the Kikaryon is an animal.
No.
A Rukol said.
No, it's a worm.
Rashi says it's an Esav. Who says everyone agrees with Rashi?
The worm is going to eat the
maybe
food on the
it was an animal.
Fig tree.
Okay? What is very fascinating is the Targum Yoina's son does not want to translate the word. Okay? He pleads the fifth. Okay, that's not fair. Okay, that's not fair of the the goal of the Targum is to provide insight, is to tell us what we do not know. And here the Targum Yonason said, don't ask me.
Vizamein,
he learns Vayiman to mean Vizamein, Hazmana, Mona, Hashem Elokim, Ki Koyon. Excuse me.
Translates it, not
our scroll,
not...
No one wants to go near this. Everyone wants clean hands here. No one wants to get into trouble.
Right.
And that is why it is one of the most mysterious objects in this world, which we really don't know. After everything's said and done, you're not going to go find something in the desert.
Guesses.
Okay, you go to Arizona and you look at a cactus. Oh, this is a Kikoyo. Not really. What?
Shaul came to Shaul and he said, bring me the manna,
Wait, which story again? What are we referring to? Say it again. Which story?
King. So he came, he was looking for the Adonai. And before that, Shmuel said to the Kabbah, to the cook, prepare
a portion
for somebody.
A mono.
He said to me, bring me the manna, Shematati Amadi of Harasot.
The portion. A portion of food is what he prepared in advance. First, the Shmuel said, prepare it, and then bring me what you prepared. A portion of food, mona, is a portion of food which has been prepared. You don't just come home and dinner's on the table. Someone has to make the dinner. Okay, you have to prepare in order that it should be present. Let us now take a look and finish with the Rashi list. Okay, so Rashi lahatzila mei meira asai. So Rashi says the same thing we saw in the Mitzvah Stav, the same idea. Rashi, what does he mean, Meira Asai? This opens up to a lot of interpretation, because the Pasuk does not tell us what is the Ra'ah, what's the evil. So Rashi says, Michoy Mashemesh. And that's not so pleasant, because how could you call Hashem's sun rays Ra'ah? Chazal say, V'hoyo Or HaChama, Or HaLevana, Or HaChama, and the Or HaChama is going to be seven times more. The rays of the sun, can you call it ra'ah? You need protection. Okay. Mechoim. So Rashi adds something a bit there. He says the chaim, the heat. Mechoim hashemesh. What does it say in the mitzvahs again? What is called the ra'ah? Mechoim hashemesh. The fish. In the fish, it says that the Medrash says, we'll come to that later on. The Medrash over here first reads, you learn a lot of insights later on what exactly happened in the fish. When Yonah was in the fish, one of the things is he went bald. He went bald. Before Yonah got onto the boat, he had a beautiful hair. He was like a model for some glossy cover magazine. Okay? He had this gorgeous hair like Yosef HaSadik. Mesalsel Basaroi, it's gorgeous here. And then what happened in the fish, when he was in the fish, due to the conditions in the fish, he lost all of his hair. He went bald. And a lot of other things happened. All these things happened to his skin and his hair. And he was basically, he became a very super sensitive, delicate person because of, he was sick. Being in the fish, he did not come out of the fish the same way he went in. He came out an ill, weak, feeble person. And now he needed shelter much, much more so than the average person. That's why all of these things, the other point factors. When the part, the person, Hashem created a person with different things in his body, which protect him from the elements. The hair, okay, we all know that the hair in the nose and the hair in the ear, these are critical things which protect a person from bacteria. Okay, the hair in the nose, it's critical. It's critical to a person's health. Okay, in the throat, there are certain things. In the ears. These are very critical things that protect the person. And here on the head also, we don't even know probably a fraction of all the purpose of everything that Hashem put in the person's body. We think today, doctors just take out the gallbladder, take out the appendix, take out this, take out that. And then years later we discover, you know, it wasn't such a good idea to quickly clear the wisdom teeth. What's the rush? Today, you know, there's a whole new thing. It used to be years ago, a kid, you take out the wisdom teeth whether you like it or not. My dentist recently told me, no more. They've come around to realize it's a big mistake. They've taken out of millions of children when they were teenagers, wisdom teeth. Millions of wisdom teeth have been extracted from children for no reason whatsoever. They were not in pain. Doctors needed to make a couple of bucks. It's a surgical procedure. And the wisdom teeth were not perfectly in line, you know, perfectly in line. So it was accepted. And why should you wait until you become older and you have a trouble? Let's get rid of them now. Millions of wisdom teeth have been extracted. My dentist told me, no more. They've come around to realize it was a big mistake. It creates a lot of complications to taking out wisdom that are not necessary. If a person gets older and there's pain, then we take him out. But we don't just take him out if no one's complaining about them anymore, because we see now there's a purpose. There is a purpose. Tonsils, everything like that.
Excuse me, Rambam says, why you say Berachamim? Hashem is going to, in the sunrise, is going to be slowly. If it is going to be right away at the light of the noon, people have problem with the vision. Hashem is Rahamim, that not a problem for the vision of the people to be from the dark to sun rising in the strength light.
It's good, it's true. Okay, let's see the vision of the Rashi very quickly. Rashi says the Ra'ah is the Choy Mashemesh. He adds that into the passage. Kikoyoin. Okay, we have to do some more tomorrow, but right now Rashi says Kikoyoin Esef Hagadol Lamala Ba'anofim. A grass which grows high. Hagodel lamala. It grows up. Some grasses don't grow up. They grow sideways. They stay on the ground. Ba'anofim rabim, many branches. Umeitzel, provide shade. V'koch shemo, that's its name. Pasik, that's it. That's the Rashi. Im Yishem, tomorrow we will continue. Very intense discussion of Yirah Shemayim. The last couple of halachas. Okay, the last couple of halachas we've dwelt upon, the topic of Yirah Shemayim. Okay, we're going to tell you a little bit more Yirah Shemayim. Let's see, Kuf Nun Ches. Kuf Nun Ches. 100 times north. What happened over here?
Don't move.
Don't move. Sorry. Ooh. What happened over here? 1 second. What is going on here? Ooh. Making me lower?
Maybe should I
turn it
off?
Yeah. Turn off, yeah. Okay, let's try now. Is it working? Okay, let's begin. Kuf Nun Ches.